is attacking itself. My body is at war with itself. Because that's what happens. My immune system was literally attacking my joints, seeing them as enemies and breaking them down, which caused the pain I was experiencing. I share this with you, but I don't want you to be unnecessarily worried about me. So just to be clear, I no longer experience this pain. It took a little over a year to find the medication that would work well for me. But the medication doesn't bring healing. It alleviates the problem. It actually slows my immune system down so that it can't attack my joints as much, but then it leaves me more susceptible to becoming sick. But I'm not in pain. And for the first time in my life that year, I came face to face with the frustration that my body was broken. That I could not will myself to get better. The frustration that my body was actually preventing me from being me. Have you come face to face with that yet? Maybe not in your own body, but maybe in the body of a loved one. Our bodies. Our bodies are the vessels in which we laugh and cry, breathe and dream, pray and hope. We've all experienced the joy of sunshine on our face and the thrill of excitement of those first snowflakes on the palms of our hands. We've all experienced the warmth of a long hug from someone we love or the comfort of someone's arm around our shoulder. We feel anger coursing through our veins. We get excited and we jump up and down. We celebrate with food that fills our tummies, and we dance to music that has a rhythm that reverberates throughout our bodies. This morning as I preach, there are members of our family using their bodies to load furniture to serve a refugee family in need of a new home. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalm says, when he speaks truth. But we also know the struggles that come with these bodies. The sickness that won't go away. The fatigue we feel, even though there's so much more we'd like to do. The anxiety that wakes us up at 4 a.m., our bodies tense and worried, our minds racing. The depression we just can't shake. Pain that never completely goes away, the recovery that takes too long. We all love people who are sick and have not gotten better. We love people who have died. And even as I stand before you preaching this message today, my body is battling a virus. Our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, we know this, and yet, they are susceptible to sickness and death. And despite all the medical advances that have made over the past few centuries, despite the growing field of holistic medicine and the things that that offers us, we still have to face this as humans. That in this world we experience pain, death, suffering, illness, aging, and we can't fix. Friends, today, this third Sunday in Advent, we declare this hope that God promises resurrection. God promises resurrection. In a world still susceptible to death and decay, God has promised us resurrection. Romans 8 says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against His will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the Creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time, and we believers also groan because we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long. We long for our bodies to release from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the redemption of our bodies. We wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the redemption of our bodies. There's so much going on here in this passage. This is like the climax of the letter to the Romans. There is a big picture that Paul is proclaiming, that God is putting the whole world back to rights, that all of creation was broken and became sick when humans rebelled against their Creator, and that creation is waiting and groaning and anticipating the day when all will be set back into proper place. What I want to focus on this morning phrase that's very much at the center of it all. That we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the redemption of our bodies. We are hoping for the day when we ourselves will be fully and finally redeemed, when we receive our resurrected bodies. God promises resurrection. The resurrection of the body is like a pretty essential Christian doctrine. It's part of the Apostles' Creed that we ask those being baptized here alive and mind to commit to memory. So the paragraph goes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of God. The resurrection of the body. So to be clear, when Jesus talks about resurrection, it's a physical resurrection. And our culture tends to focus more on heaven as like a spiritual, disembodied state. The Bible has no category for that. The Bible has no categories for a spiritual resurrection where our souls are raised in some immaterial way. The redemption of our bodies means precisely what it states, that God will take these bodies, these very bodies, deliver. Amen. So I want you to turn one to your neighbor and say, this body will be raised to new life. We will be made well. We will be restored, healed, made completely whole in these bodies. Free from sin and suffering, free from sickness and pain, free from death and decay. And this is good news.
Amen.
Thank you. And it is crazy news. Can we just be honest about that?
Yes.
This is crazy news we proclaim. Let's just admit that together because we do not see this with our eyes. Science cannot testify to resurrection. What we see is the aging of our bodies. You know, I visited Ty and Laura. But I looked at little babies coming home. My heart right now, your body is just newness and growth and all potential. But at a certain point, that will change. And I don't know what age it is. Maybe science gives us a number. Probably different from men and for women for some weird reason. But at a certain point, you just decline. It's just not growth and newness. It's decline. And I know I'm in that category. That's what we know. We know death. We know funerals. We know goodbyes. We know grief and loss. We know sickness and pain. We don't know everlasting strength.
Amen.
And glory. Friends, this is what I put before you today. We who are crazy enough to believe in the resurrection of Jesus, we who are crazy enough to believe that this guy, Jesus, was risen from the dead, We also put our hope in the resurrection and the redemption of our own bodies.
Amen.
Those things come together.
Yes.
If you believe that Jesus was risen from the dead, you believe that you also will be raised with him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Christ was raised physically from the dead. We know this. He ate food with his disciples. He outright declared his resurrection body was physical and touchable. He said, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And his resurrection is the pattern for our resurrection. Therefore, we will be raised in physical bodies as well.
Amen.
The new heavens and the new earth will be earth and soil. We will run. We will jump. We will laugh. We will play. We will feast on food. We will explore this recreated place together. There will be no more sickness. Instead, we will be fully who we are. No more saying, "Oh, I wish I had the energy for that, but I don't." We will be fully restored. No more physical limits. No more fatigue. No more depression. No more goodbyes.
Amen.
God promises resurrection. But for now, we can't see it. We are not those who live by sight. It is hope we confess. At the beginning of our time in Advent together, we started in Hebrews, which says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were And so hope in what we can't see, has been the work of God's people throughout history. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about that. Abraham never saw his descendants being as numerous as the stars in the sky. He didn't see that. But he based his life on that hope, and he acted on that hope for something he would never see. The prophets of Israel would never see the Messiah that they prophesied about. But still they hoped, they proclaimed his coming, they gave their lives for that hope. And so when we hope for the things that we can't see, we're in good company. Paul says we're given this hope that our bodies will be redeemed and made new. We were given that when we were saved. We already have this hope. But we call it a hope because we don't yet have it. And that's why this is an Advent sermon and not an Easter sermon. It's a sermon about the resurrection. Maybe some of you are like, "Is she like Advent?" Am I like Jeff? Spring? Fall? What is it? I don't know. But this is an Advent sermon because it's a hope that we're still longing. We can look back and say that, yes, Jesus is risen. But we look forward with hope, with waiting. We're still longing, we're still waiting, we're still groaning. Paul says creation has been groaning, and we are also groaning within ourselves, longing for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Some of us are well acquainted with that groaning, are we not? How are you experiencing that groaning within yourself? That longing for redemption. We groan because the burden of our physical weaknesses are heavy. But Paul says we also groan because we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory. But I want to pause on that because it's a little strange that the Holy Spirit causes us to grow. We experience the new life that the Spirit brings. And so we get a glimpse of healing. We experience the empowering us to leave sin and the ways of death behind us. And so we experience a small piece of the glory of new life. And this makes us long for more. Having the Holy Spirit creates more longing in us. So sort of like my mom growing up, like one of the most prized secret family recipes in my family are my mom's egg rolls. She would let us eat like that little piece that she marinated to make sure that it tasted okay. And so we would eat this like tiny little piece of meat. And it would just make it worse. Like, oh my gosh, that's so good! We want it out! And this is what Paul is saying, the Holy Spirit has to say.
Amen.
We get a glimpse, a taste of the glory of God in our life, of the healing in life that He brings, and it makes us long for more.
Amen.
Because if we didn't know that more was coming, what would we want for? It'd probably be easier, right? Because we wouldn't be expecting more. But because we have a taste of it, because the Holy Spirit brings us a glimpse of that new life, it creates a tension in us and a desire for more. I'm wondering, does anyone have a tradition where, like, the children of the family on Christmas Eve are able to open up, like, one present? Yeah. So imagine, like, a child who's never seen the joy of Christmas morning before. They don't even maybe even understand what a present is. So Christmas Eve, you take them from the tree. So they open it up and they realize that inside this gift is like something that brings joy. Something that brings them delight and fun. And then you show them all that's under the Christmas tree. You say, this is all yours. It's tomorrow morning. And then you send them to bed. There's an excruciating longing that they experience for Christmas morning because they know the goodness of that first gift. So friends, we are like children on Christmas Eve, anticipating the joy that is to come. Like children, we've opened up the one gift. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We understand the joy that He's brought to our lives, and we create more. That is why we groan. Paul makes it clear that these groans are not the groans leading to death. They are the groans of childbirth. And those groans are real. I don't mean to minimize them. You can't tell a pregnant woman that her groaning is not real pain. It is real pain that we experience. But it is not the groaning of the pains of death. It is the groaning of childbirth. It is the anticipation of the life that is to come and the joy that we will see.
Amen.
Because God promises resurrection. He promises to make our bodies new. This is the good news we trusted. And so we wait and we hope. God promises resurrection. That is a future hope that we have. And it would be enough just to say that healing and that new life is coming to us in the future. Right? It's good enough news just to say it's coming. Amen?
Amen.
But the one who created our bodies, who gave them to us as gifts, and who promises to one day restore them completely, He also taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come today. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So in other words, we wait for the day when all will be made new, but we also ask and we pray today for some of that newness. And in fact, throughout history, the church has been the presence in the world of hearing our physical bodies matter to God, and He is restoring them. And He hasn't given up on the physical world, but He has promised to heal the world and make it new. And so Christians have always been the ones to lead the charge in this, in caring for bodies. Christians started the first hospitals to care for the sick. It's why we don't just pray for refugees, we also prepare a physical. Why we declare good news in Albany Park while also feeding the hungry. Because our bodies matter to God. And we long for that day when our bodies will be raised to new life, but we also pray and we ask for some of that new life to come today. Now the power of this new life is not predictable. It can surprise us. But the possibility always there. Because in Jesus, we will be, and already are in some mysterious way, being brought to life. So as Jeff said at the beginning of the service, if you've been here a lot of time, you know that one of the major kingdom practices we engage in together is asking God for healing. And so today, even as we proclaim the good news that God promises resurrection, that he promises to restore our physical bodies, we come before him with that hope. Hope that even today we see some of that restoration. I want to invite Jeff.